Okay, let's go ahead and get our Bibles open up to 1 Samuel chapter number 1. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. A couple Wednesday nights ago, we were in 1 Samuel a little bit, talking about how to get from Ichabod to Ebenezer. And we mentioned a little bit about Hannah, but I know the Lord kind of led me to the story of Hannah once again tonight as we are celebrating Mother's Day. This morning we talked about caring for yourself as you care for others, a little bit about the physical side of that, but mostly about the spiritual side. And this morning in the regular service, the morning worship service, we talked about being a spirit-filled Christian or spirit-filled mother. Tonight we're going to look at a mom who keeps her promises. A mom who keeps her promises. And one thing I think most of us remember about Hannah is that she was a woman who prayed, and she was a praying lady that became a praying mother. And I don't know about you, but one of the things I enjoy most when I get the opportunity to sit with someone whose mother or father passed away, hearing stories about the spiritual side that maybe I didn't know as much, but especially when I heard them, people give testimony of, I heard my mom praying for me. She didn't always know it, but she would be faithfully on her knees praying to God. And she wasn't praying to be heard by me, but she was heard praying to be heard by God, obviously. But do our children hear us praying for them? And I'm not saying that we do it and set it up, obviously, so that way they can hear us. But the reality is there's a great tradition of praying mothers and praying fathers. I know I've heard testimony of someone that is dear to me that they said that every single morning they got up and they went down and they saw their dad there with the Bible open and praying. And then also another guy has said the same thing about their dad, that they would come down and dad would tell them to get back upstairs and do their devotions and things like that. And the stories about the moms at nighttime when they're supposed to be sleeping, they would go by and hear their mom calling out for them, calling out to God on their behalf. And maybe they didn't get it as a younger person, but as the days went along and the months and the years added on, especially as they saw that their mother and father, as they passed away, that one of the greatest legacies they could remember is that they had a mother and a father that prayed for them. I tell you that I wonder how many people would say, that's the story about my mom, my dad, that they prayed for me and I knew that. They prayed with me at nighttime before I went to bed. They prayed with me during family devotions. They prayed when I wasn't even there. Or they prayed when they were out late and they're supposed to be coming home, and you know the mom's at home praying that they get back safely, or the dad's there waiting up for them, making sure everyone was home. You know, praying mothers, praying fathers. And I think that's something that that's a challenge for today. But I know I love hearing testimonies like that. I love hearing somebody say, I know my mom prayed for me. I know my dad prayed for me. I know it made a difference in my life. And we talked about different people before in the past. Talked about John Wesley and his mother, how she would spend 2 hours a day praying, even though I think she had 10 children. We heard about the stories about even George Washington talking about how everything he owed was to his mother and the prayers that she had. His father passed away when he was 10. Theodore Roosevelt talked about how praying mothers are America's greatest assets. Abraham Lincoln talks about how no man is poor who has a godly mother. And once again, mothers and fathers both have strong roles to take care of and do. But one of the greatest privileges we have as parents is to pray for our children. And they should know that we pray for them. They should hear that from us, that I love you, that I'm praying for you. And it shouldn't be something that is even questioned, but it's something that they should see and hear. D.L. Moody once used to tell a story about a man who came to him and said, when the Mexican War began, I wanted to enlist, but my mother, seeing that I was resolved, she said, if you became a Christian, you can go. He didn't want to do it. She pleaded and prayed that I might become a Christian, but I wouldn't. I said when the war was over, I would become a Christian, but not till then. It doesn't work that way. It's the Holy Spirit of God that draws us. All her pleading was in vain, and at last, when I was going away, she took out a watch and said, my son, your father left this to me when he died. Take it, and I want you to remember that every day at 12 o'clock, your mother will be praying for you. Then she gave me her Bible and marked out passages and put a few different references on the fly leaf. I took the watch and the Bible just because my mother gave them to me. I never intended to read the Bible. I went off to Mexico, and one day, while on a long, weary march, I took out my watch, and it was 12 o'clock. I had been gone for 4 months, but I remember that my mother, at the hour, was praying for me. Something prompted me to ask the officer to relieve me for a little while, and I stepped behind a tree away on the plains of Mexico and cried out to God of my mother, asking him to save me. God saved him. And after the war was ended, he said, I have enlisted again to see what if I can do anything good for my master's cause. So I'm just wondering tonight a little bit as we talk about this story, about this woman praying and how God answers her prayer, would we be considered praying fathers and praying mothers? And you say, well, I don't have any children. Are we praying individuals? We pray for our families. You know, do people consider us? Do they hear us praying for them? Do we affect their hearts because they hear us? You know, praying is something in front of our families is something so genuine and something so special. I know sometimes people don't feel comfortable. They think it's a private thing. And I know there is corporate prayer in the Bible, but if you're sincerely praying with your family or with someone that you love or someone you care about, they can hear your heart and see how close that you love the Lord and how much you love them as you pray for them. With all the problems that are in the world today, for all the dangers we see around our children today, do we see more praying mothers or less? Now, if you're someone who prays on a regular basis, you'll be encouraged by this message because of the fact that it will encourage you to stay on and keep on doing it. But I want you to consider for a little while Hannah. She leaves Samuel. Most of you know the story. She leaves Samuel behind. She's given and dedicated Samuel to the Lord. And it's there. You're going to see that there's Hophni there and Phinehas there that do not know God. That's going to be around him and also Eli. But you think about other mothers in the Bible. Consider Lois and Eunice as the mother and grandmother watch Timothy go off into the God's plan for their life and following and helping Paul. And consider about Jochebed letting go of Moses' ark that she has built. That it's amazing stories about women who had faith enough to allow God to work. Things have gotten rough, things have gotten hard, and things have gotten so bad. Pastor, don't you think we should do more than pray? I think the most important thing we can do is pray. Obviously, we need to discipline. Obviously, we need to correct. Obviously, we need to train. Obviously, we need to live the Christian life and be spirit-filled. But I don't think we can do anything the right way until we begin to pray. So in the story, you see in 1 Samuel, if you listened a couple Wednesday nights ago, we talked about the dark place they were in. The nation of Israel was in a bad spot. If you go to chapter number 3, it talks about how there was no open vision, meaning that God literally wasn't speaking and working through a lot of people, and it wasn't being preached and taught. Talked about how dark it was towards the end of Judges, and what was known about the days of the Judges was every man did that which was right in his own eyes. If you listened Wednesday night, a few nights ago, people even hated going to the house of God because some of the leadership did not do what was right and caused people to become discouraged because of even their sacrifices, something that they abhorred because of how much people did not act the way they should at church. Did not act the way they should at the tabernacle. And because of that, people didn't even want to go. And here you see a little bit of a bright sprout of a woman that is praying and seeking God. And you see that she's praying with such passion that even the high priest of the day doesn't realize that she's crying out to God. It accuses her of being a drunkard because he has not seen someone pray with such passion. And the story tonight is not about Eli should have been down there praying with her. Instead, the story tonight is about this lady who is hurting. She is barren, she is burdened, but she believes that God will hear and answer her prayer. Let's go ahead and start in here. Point number one is a praying mother. Hannah's in a kind of a bad spot. It says that she is being provoked and says that she is even fretting. Look what the Bible says. Now there was a certain man of Ramoth Zilphim of the Mount of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, and the son of Tohu, and the son of Zah, and Ephraite. And he had two wives. Now, the Bible never says it's okay to have two wives. I think it's important to have one. I think it's important to love the one that the Bible talks about. And usually when you see two wives or multiple wives mentioned in the Bible, there's problems because that's not God's plan. The name of one was Hannah and the name of the other was Penoah. And then Penoah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Now, so I think this guy is a good guy. He doesn't understand what his wife's going through. We're going to see that in a second. And he's going up and he's worshiping every year like he's supposed to. But it's kind of interesting. In Shiloh, and it says, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And Hophni and Phinehas are bad guys, wicked men. Cared nothing about God, but they were the priests. They were the representation of that day. Shows you how dark Israel was. And keep on going. And it says, and when the time was come that Elkanah offered, he gave to Penah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, saying that he gave her extra, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Now, you see what that says there? It actually says, the Lord shut up her womb. Verse number 7. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Now it's talking about her adversary. It's talking about Elkanah's other wife that was provoking her. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better than thee than 10 sons? You see a guy there and a husband that we've learned over the years, even back in the Old Testament, they couldn't figure out their wives, couldn't understand their wives' emotions, just like we can't many times today. And it's something that's reality there, that husbands and wives, they think differently. And that's why the Bible tells us to dwell with them according to knowledge, because what we know, we need to do our best in loving them as God tells us to. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. So what Hannah is praying for is a child, but she's not praying for a child just for herself. She is praying for the deliverance, I believe, of Israel here. She is asking for a man-child. Not only is she asking for a man-child, she is saying, I will dedicate him to the Lord all the days of his life and have him take the Nazarite vow. You go back to one of the last judges is Samson and what Samson had done in helping deliver Israel. I think Hannah is getting on board with what God wants, and they're intersecting as she's praying. She's not seeking just her will. More importantly, she's seeking God's will, but also asking for God's answer, because it wouldn't have been Hannah's will to have a child just to give him back to the Lord. Hannah would have wanted to kept that child. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll jump in here looking at a mother that keeps her promises. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us tonight. Help us to be encouraged by your word. I know everyone's important in your world and everything, and no one is higher or better than others. Today's the day we come together to honor moms and Lord, and even have specific looking at ladies and their roles and things like that. Lord, help us to be a praying people. We hear stories of prayers. We hear stories of people praying. We hear stories of people praying in revival. We hear stories of people praying throughout the night and praying for their countries. But Lord, I wonder in this generation, will you not rise up some people that are interested in praying, interested in seeking your face, interested in delighting in you and getting your will done on this earth instead of us trying to get our will done in heaven. Lord, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So point number one is a praying mother. So first thing I want you to think about is that she is barren. She is barren. The Bible says at the end of verse number 5, that the Lord had shut up her womb, meaning that she was not going to be able to have children. It was the Lord's will. It was the Lord's plan. It's what the Lord had designed it. And I know that is a challenging thing. Mother's Day is challenging for some because moms have already gone on. Sometimes they've passed away. Sometimes it's bad relationships. Sometimes God chooses not to allow certain people to have children. Sometimes moms lose their children. Sometimes before birth. Sometimes after. I mean, the children go home before the mom does. Yeah, this is a hard thing. But how do we look at it? We need to give those things to the Lord. The Bible says that in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want you to understand today that as God told Paul, my grace is sufficient. No matter what's happening in your life, God's grace is sufficient. You can handle the situation he's placed you in with his grace and his help and his strength. God is the only one that can take barrenness and turn it into fruitfulness. As you can see in the story, God does answer her prayer. She does have a child. Even later on, she has multiple children. God answers that prayer, and sometimes God doesn't answer the prayer we think how he should, but that barrenness that God has given sometimes is something that can become very fruitful. I think of that word barren. It reminds me of how many of us live our Christian lives even today. We're barren. We're lacking fruit of seeing people saved, lacking the fruit of the Spirit, lacking having a very dry Christian life, doing the spiritual disciplines. We're not steadfast. Instead, it says we have not heard from the Lord for a long time, and our spiritual life, in fact, is very weak and anemic, and it's not something that we've taken a chance to take care of ourselves and strengthen ourselves and let our inner man become strong. Instead, it's very, very dry and barren. We haven't seen God work in our lives. We haven't reached out to God. God hasn't spoken to our heart. We are more concerned about the fact that other people know our sins and the fact that God knows about our sins. It's a bad place to be, being barren spiritually. Now, I don't think that's the way Hannah is here. Hannah's talking about not being able to have children. She is barren in that idea, but it's a challenge to be barren spiritually. Next thing I want you to think about is she was burdened. So here's the thing. She had a problem. She took that problem to God. I think many of us would say that we're burdened for things. We can be burdened for our church. We can be burdened for our family. We can be burdened for our country. We can be burdened for our coworkers. We can be burdened. And if we went around the room, there'd probably be a long list of things and people that we're burdened for. But we see that she takes her burdens to God. I know that sometimes we're overwhelmed and sometimes we're burdened, but do we care enough to pray? Or do we try to carry those burdens our own? The Bible talks about casting our cares upon him because he cared for us. The Bible says in Habakkuk 1:1, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, his nation was headed to a ruin, his nation was headed to slavery, his nation was being headed to where they were going to be captured and carried away. And he saw this burden and he cried out to God and God gave him an answer. How many of us are truly burdened or we are willing to cry out to God, but not just cry out to God, someone who is willing to continue on crying out to God. Matthew 11:30 says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We all have burdens, but we see Hannah takes this burden and she prays. And not only does she pray, it says that she continues to pray unto the Lord. It says in verse number 12, and when it came to pass, she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. It wasn't enough for her to just go and say what she was saying and say, okay, I'm done. No, she stayed and she continued. She wanted the Lord to hear. She wanted the Lord to know she was being serious. And I wanted to tell you tonight that yes, we can be prayers. We can pray, but do we pray with a burden on our hearts? Something that we continue on our prayer and we let the burden take us to the point where it drives us to our knees, and that not only that we pray, but we continue on praying until God gives us an answer to what he's asking. Give that burden over to the Lord. That barrenness can be termed fruitfulness. Next thing is, I believe she not only was one that was barren and burdened, she believed God would hear her. She believed God would hear her. So where do you see that in the passage? It continues on, it says in verse number 13, now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, for her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. Now, this might seem kind of simple, but in all reality, no one else could hear her but God. She believed that God could actually hear her. So, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm saying that no matter if it's something that's in your heart or if you pray out loud, you don't have to pray super loud and try to gain people's attentions and have everybody take notice. No, God can hear you. The Bible says he hears, and it says, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I love that verse because he answers us, but more importantly, not only does he answer us, he's willing to show us great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The cool thing about that, what's going on with Hannah and with her story, she's been barren for a little while, she's been burdened for a little while, but she begins to get up with what God wants and what God's desiring. She looks around and see what's going on in her country, and she looks around and see what's going on in her world, and she sees that there's wickedness, and she sees that there's evilness, and she sees that Hophni and Phinehas is there, and she makes a promise to God in verse number 11, and she says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the day of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head. Now, I think here, number one, she was a praying mother. Second one, she was a promise-keeping mother. He said, That sounds kind of strange. Don't all moms keep their promises? I think most moms do. I think most people that have character are going to do their best to keep their promises, and sometimes people forget. Sometimes, I don't know about you, I forget a lot of things. I don't know if my brain is just too full, and if you put one thing in, and something else has just got to come out. There's some things I wish wasn't in there, and there's some things I wish I would remember. But I do my best to keep my word, and I do my best to remember things. And instead of breaking a promise on purpose, it's more instead I'm forgetting that promise. But here we see that she gives God and makes a vow to God, and when she makes a vow to God, she keeps that vow. So, of course, isn't that what all moms do? Isn't that what all dads do? Isn't that what we all do? Well, here's the thinking that comes along with that. If you made a promise to God about your child, are you keeping that vow? So what do you mean? I remember that when we dedicated Christian and Andrew to the Lord at different times when they were babies, this was the thought. They're not my children. They're God's children. He's given me those children to raise. I am their parent, and I'm thankful he gave them to me, but they truly, in all essence, belong to him. And if they belong to him, I'm supposed to raise them the way that God would want them raised. It's not the way that I think is best. It's not what I think should happen. It's the way that God says it should happen. That's why I believe dedicating a baby to the Lord is. Saying, I know that this is a gift from God. The Bible even says, lo, children, it's a heritage to the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. It's a reward. It's sort of like our bodies. Do the bodies belong to ourselves, or do they belong to God? The Bible says clearly that they belong to the Lord, and that they're just something that we are stewards of. And as much as we love our children, and as much as they are a part of us, and we help make them, their gifts that come from God. He is the giver and taker of life. And if I've made a promise that I'm going to give God my child and raise my child and nurture and admonition of the Lord, I got to come to this moment in time and say, am I keeping that vow? Am I doing what he has called me to do? Am I living the dream that he has for my child instead of the dream I have for my child? Sometimes we envision what we think what our child would be good at. Sometimes we envision what we think would be, hey, I love to see my son do this. I love to see my son get married, which I still don't know if anybody would take them. I'd love to see my sons have plenties of grandchildren, children, so we can have grandchildren. Those are the things that I would dream personally for my sons. And I'd be honest with you, I would love to see them be used of God in whatever fashion, however he sees. I love to see them be successful in many areas, in many ways. There's things that I may dream for my sons, but when my dreams become what God's dreams are for them, that's when God's going to answer those prayers. And when I vow those vows and I say, I recognize, Lord, that these are your children that you've given me to raise, and thank you for the privilege and thank you for the honor it is to help raise them. But I want to vow that vow. And am I living that life saying, okay, they belong to you. Because they belong to you, I'm going to make sure that I correct them. Because they belong to you, I'm going to make sure that I love them. Because they belong to you, I'm going to have an expectation that they will obey me and they will honor me, not because I'm prideful or because I want some type of dominion or kingdom that's in my house. No, it's because of the fact that that's what God has intended for them. And it is my responsibility and my role to raise them that way, not, and yes, sometimes be merciful and many times be gracious, but also to bring them up in truth. This is how God has given me this. And I wonder, do we keep that vow? And I see in the story, if you go to the end of the chapter, it says in verse 26, and she said, "Oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, and my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, what I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him unto the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. The Bible's saying that she made a vow in verse number 11, and she kept the vow in verses 26 through 28. That had to be a hard thing to do. She didn't know she was going to have more children, at least if I remember right in the story, she was going to have more children later on. She knew that this was going to happen. And in the story and how it goes along, she says, "I made a vow to God, and I'm going to keep that vow to God." And the Bible even says in Ecclesiastes 5:4, "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed." And I think God has spoken to our heart many times at the altars or in the preaching times or Bible reading. And we make a vow to God, "God, I'm not going to do this anymore. God, I'm going to be better at this. God, I'm going to stop doing this. God, I'm going to start doing this." And then we break our word. We might not break our word to anyone that's around us. How many times do we break our vows to God? And I don't think many people would have given Hannah a hard time about breaking her vow because they wouldn't have known it. But Hannah knew it, and Hannah was a promise-keeping mother. So I want us to consider tonight for just a few moments, are we praying people, praying mothers, praying fathers, praying grandparents? Are we promise-keeping ones? If we've said, "Lord, these are your children, am I raising them that way? Am I giving them over to them?" And if you haven't done that, we need to recognize and say, okay, do they really belong to me? Because if they belong to me, I can do what I want with them, right? I can do anything I want. I can, you know, I can have my dreams for them. I can push them to be what I think they should be instead of saying, "Hey, seek God's will for your life." I can say, "Hey, this is a better financial opportunity. Hey, don't worry about serving God. Hey, you can have God as a portion, but make sure you do this." No, it's what does God dream for my child? What is God's destiny for him? And pushing him that way of listening to the God and answering to the Lord's call, whatever that is. Whether it's being on a mission field somewhere or whether it's living at the house next door. Not in the same house, but the one next door, right? So one of my children, I don't remember which one it was, used to talk about how they were going to live at home. Mom was a good cook. You didn't have to go. One of them talked about having 99 kids too. So I don't think either one of those things are going to happen. They were young. Their dreams were different than what God's were. But are we teaching our kids and saying, "Oh, I don't think you should go to college here"? Or, you know, once again, we should lead them, we should train them, we should guide them. But what is God's will? It doesn't always make sense to the human eye. And that's what I'm going to encourage you. Give your child over to the Lord and keep those vows because they are the heritage of the Lord. And just as our own body doesn't belong to us, the things that we have, we're all stewards, and God's asking us to be found faithful. What do you dream for your kids tonight? Do they know that you would be excited whatever God had planned for them? And that's what you want them to do, and that's what you want them to be. No matter where that takes them, no matter what that entails, that's what I want for you. It's an easy thing to say. It's a hard thing to let go of. But that's exactly what Hannah's showing here. I prayed for you. God gave you to me. But I made a vow to him. I'm giving him back to you. Third thing is she was a praising mother. A praising mother. So not only is it prayers, not only is promise keeping, there is some praising going on. Do our kids hear us praise the Lord? Talk about the goodness of God. She is paying and keeping this promise, but I don't see her upset here. It actually says at the end of verse number 28, and he worshiped the Lord there. Someone taught him how to worship, and he worshiped the Lord there. Verse number chapter number 2, you look at verses 1 through, I believe, verse number 10, there is a praise, a Hannah song. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation." She has just left her child behind and she is praising God because she has done what God has called her to do. She has prayed and she's carried her burden to the Lord. She has left it with God. Now it's all up to the Lord. And she knows that it's God will take care of him. Even though Hophni and Phinehas were there, even though Eli, so how can she leave him there? What's going to ever happen to him? We'll read chapter number 3. He turns out pretty good. Chapter number 5, chapter number 6, 7. Samuel learns to do some wonderful things and is used by God in such a mighty, powerful way, despite the wickedness that's there. And it's because of the fact that someone who taught him how to worship the Lord and showed him to keep their promises. Verse number 2 says in chapter number 2, "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of their mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren have borne 7, and she that have many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raises up the poor out of the dust, and he lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall be thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." So I see not only a woman who's praying and a woman who's keeping her promise, I see a woman who praises. I wonder how often do we paint the picture to our children how great God is? How much do we teach him his attributes? How much do we teach him the praises? Not just with her mouths, but also with her actions. I don't know what Samuel thought of his mother, but it talks about every year she would bring him something, a coat. And I'm sure every year when she came to worship, I'm sure she talked to her, says, "You're the child I prayed for. You're the child that God gave me. I gave him back to you. Now serve him. Serve him with all your heart. Serve him with your life. I love you more than you can ever imagine, but this is what God's plan is for you. This is what God has dreamed for you." Tonight, I wonder how often do we praise the Lord and we talk to our kids and talk to others about praising God. God is worthy of our praise. God is so good. There is so much that we can do. We can show forth the praises of him, not just with our mouth, but also with our lives. It's not something we should be ashamed of, but we should be praising the Lord for who he is and what he's done. So as we consider this lady tonight, I know we talk about our prayers and we talk about our burdens and we talk about our being barren, and those are important things. She brought that all to God and said, "God, I want to do what you want me to with this." And prayed and found the prayer that God was willing to answer, that God says, "Now you got it. You're lining up with my desires for you and for your life. Now I can answer your prayer." And then God, she keeps this prayer and it blesses the nation for many, many years. But you also see, even though it was a hard thing to do, even though it wasn't easy, you see her praising God too. You know what? Whether it's dark or if it's bright, whether things good or bad, we should always still praise the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. Thank you for the stories of the Bible. Thank you for the great mothers of the Bible, some of the great ladies of the Bible. I even consider the burdens that people had that drove them to your knees. Lord, help us to be praying people. Help us to have that testimony that our kids would be able to say, I know my parents prayed for me. I know they prayed with me. I know there were times when I heard them praying for me. Lord, if we're not good at that, help us to get right with that and help us to begin doing that. Lord, I wonder, do we have more people praying today than we did 50 years ago? I wonder how many testimonies that people are going to say that. Lord, I pray those burdens that are on our heart tonight, that we will take them to the Lord. Not to try to get our will done up in heaven, but Lord, to say, Lord, I know I have this burden and I'm carrying this burden. Lord, show me what you want me to do with this burden. Lord, I'm giving this burden over to you because you say that your yoke is easy and that your burden is light. I'm taking these cares that this world has put upon me and that's on my heart, and I'm giving them over to you, and I'm leaving them with you because I know you can do all things, Lord. Lead and direct on what I should do with these great burdens of my life. Help me to pray like Hannah. Help me to respond and be obedient as you pray, to do what I've promised you that I would do and keep my promises. Lord, I don't know how parents feel in this room and how they look at their children. If they view them as gifts from God that they're just stewards of. I know across this room there's many people who have kids, and some of them even have grandkids, and some even have great-grandchildren. But Lord, we all have a role and we all have a responsibility. Help us to be faithful stewards. And if we've never given our children over to God, or even our other relationships over to him, tonight, let us make that decision. Let us make a vow tonight, not do it rashly, but make a vow because you speak to our hearts, and then be faithful in keeping that vow. Help us to dream the dreams for our children and our young people that God dreams, not those things that we think is best and that we think is right, but to say, God, they are yours, and I trust you with them. Whatever it is that you want, God, I'm willing to want that also. And God, help us learn to praise you, even when we have that burden, even when we have that uneasiness. God, help us speak to our hearts about being praying warriors, promise keepers, and praising you daily. In Jesus' name, amen.